Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, the broken egg, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dress in plastic bags to break the traffic. Some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do better. Oh, my friend, that come around, fight to fight to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, the town is tattered. My prince is flattered all over Manhattan. Shake it up, should do better. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Bob Nightingale will join us from the USA Today to talk about Robbie Cano getting popped. The bust ruins his reputation for the time being, right? $24 million star. Your boy Bob Nightingale took some shots. We'll talk to him about that. Obviously, everyone's saying today he's toast when it comes to the Hall of Fame. And everything else, I would say at this point, I'd be willing to hold off judgment on that and reserve some time at a later date down the road a few years to decide if I think that. I think the quick knee-jerk reaction is he's finished, but I actually still believe. So if I believe Bonds will still get in, right? And we've seen that number go up, Carver High and Clemens. You're willing to say those guys allegedly do drugs and they get away with it. And somehow people said they were vilified and ostracized. And they said they'd never get into the Hall of Fame over their dead bodies. And they're close now. They're somewhat close. They're getting closer, you have to admit. So you're going to tell me 20 years from now, a guy like that may not forget that and let him in?
I think that they are eventually.
Someone's going to break the seal.
They're eventually going to let these guys in. But here's the thing. Bonds, Clemens, and potentially A-Rod. We're going to put him in there, too, because he's going to be up now in, what, 3 or 4 years. He'll get on the ballot for the first time. Those three guys, you're talking about all-time
greats,
legends of the game in terms of the numbers that they put up. All-time legends.
Right.
Robbie Cano, I think, has obviously been a great player in the league. Trending towards Hall of Famer for his career.
But not there yet.
But not there yet, and B, not, you know, a titan of the game.
Not in their league.
Like those three guys are, so.
In their league, but no pun intended,
but
not.
If you're
going
to get popped and you want to eventually be in the discussion, you need to be in the area that those three guys are
in. All right, so you never see it happening.
Well, let me see those guys get in first before I even discuss anybody else.
You don't believe him, do you, about all of his excuses?
Well, come on, he didn't know what he was taking. He's, you know, he had the sniffles or whatever the deal was. You know, he didn't know.
He admitted taking the diuretic.
Yeah, he admitted taking it, saying that a doctor gave it to him. It's for a medical condition.
Yeah. There you go. So we'll talk about Robbie Cano tonight, obviously, with Bob Nightingale. The East Finals Game 2 going on in Boston. I told you the game's very tight. Suddenly, the Celtics have a 3-point lead on the Cavaliers here in Game 2. 74-71, 4 minutes left in the third. We've seen everything in this game, including LeBron take a headshot, have to go to the locker room. People thought he was concussed and wondered if he'd come back, but he did come back to the game. The NBA draft lottery took place tonight. The Suns had the best odds for the number one, and they got the top pick. The Kings had the second best chance, and they got second. And the Hawks, I believe, were third, and they got third. No, was it not that way?
No, the Kings and the Hawks jumped into the top three.
Oh, did they really?
The Grizzlies and the Mavericks had second and third, and they now will be picking fourth and fifth. The Kings made the biggest jump. I think they were supposed to pick sixth or right around there, and they jumped up to 2. So the Kings had the big jump.
All right. You got game 3 tonight in D.C., and the Lightning are kicking the Capitals' ass tonight, 4-1, trying to get their first win in the series. They're up 3 goals after 2 periods. Can the Lightning grab both games in D.C. and even up the series? The last time the Capitals had a big lead like this was against the Lightning several years ago, where they had all these goals in the first 2 games and were up 2-0. They lost that series, including the next 4 games in a row. Sports betting opening day in New Jersey looks to be set for Memorial Day at Monmouth Park. The track anticipates being able to bet on everything available at William Hill Casinos in Nevada in New Jersey. So anything that's on the board, basically in Nevada, will be on the board in New Jersey, and you'll be able to bet at the track. The track will be rocking on Memorial Day weekend. I can guarantee you that. And we have a lot more than that. MLB powerless to stop gambling on baseball. People concerned that they shouldn't endorse it, though. Diamondbacks lose A.J. Pollock 48 weeks with a fractured thumb. We'll talk about baseball tonight on top of the Cano masking drug that got him banned 80 games. We'll talk about A-Rod's new TV show. He doesn't need to go to the Hall of Fame, A-Rod Carver High. You know why? He's too busy doing Sunday Night Baseball, Fox Baseball. Isn't he doing that as well? And then now Pivot with Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo.
Guy's just a titan of the industry.
He's doing a lot of things these days.
Titan.
The Yankees call up Clint Frazier, your guy.
Yeah, but it's not a legit call.
It's just for 2 days?
2 days in case they need a pinch hitter in an NL park.
A teaser.
That's all it is.
Lowest rate of allowing hard contact. We'll talk about that tonight. The Phillies, the lowest, 19%. Joey Votto rips the Reds. Says they're terrible, basically. James Harden sends clear message to the Rockets after game 1 loss. I can't do it by myself. Now it sounds like he's blaming others.
Exactly what it sounds like. Wheels are coming off the bus.
We'll talk about Boston-Cleveland on Sunday. Most watched Eastern Finals game 1 since 2014. And everyone that watched was bored to death. It was such a bad game. I mean, Boston kicked their ass. I didn't think that was a good game. I bet on Boston, but I did not think that was a good game. Anyway, we're going to look at some of the past dynasties and what they had on their teams. You know, like these current Warriors, 2-time and 1-time MVP. They have all that going. And 3 to 5 likely Hall of Fame core players on that team. So there you go. 5 out of Jordan's 6 finals appearances win at least 6 games. Kobe and Shaq were pushed to game 7s multiple times. If the Warriors continue on this pace, is this the best team we've ever seen over a 2-year stretch? Because they don't mess around with these long series. But then again, they've been in long series before. Lane Johnson continues to bash the Patriots. We'll get into that. The Cardinals, Christian Kirk, arrest problems tonight. We've got Eagles point spreads for all their games. Reuben Foster's ex-girlfriend will testify that she lied to the Popo. I have all of this going on. David Tepper buys the Panthers, right? Is that happening for $2.5 billion cash? Marc-Andre Fleury now 9-3 with a 1.68 goals against average and 94 save percentage, 4 shutouts through 12 playoff games. He's doing it again. This guy's doing like Stanley Cup type championship like numbers, like staggering. He had it going last night too. You could see it. I've got a ticket, Carver High, that's worth $30,000. A guy's trying to sell it for $9,000 for the Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup. All of this, including Leafs news tonight. Your boy, Mike Babcock in the news a little bit. And we'll talk more about the sports betting laws. We'll talk more about even daily fantasy as a big player in England bought FanDuel. Nick Saban news on the show tonight. Jim Harbaugh as well. Michigan says they want him there until he's done coaching. Canelo agrees to year-round VADA testing, which is something that I think people would demand of him now that he says he only eats tainted meat from Mexico. He's not on drugs. Are you kidding? How great is this? Conference finals in hoops, conference finals in hockey. My snags are great. PharrellOnTheBench.com. All I do is make people money. Baseball, winners, boxing, MMA. Last weekend in MMA, 9-0. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today, especially if you live in New Jersey.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Bob Nightingale joins us from the USA Today. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, doing great, Scott. Yourself?
Hey, I'm awesome. That story I saw about your son, right? That's great what he's doing. He's covering the Reds now, is that right?
Yeah, coming to Cincinnati Reds for the Cincinnati Inquirer.
That's a great gig. Well, you have to be ecstatic about that, or am I crazy?
No, yeah, beyond words. You're absolutely right. That's a very, 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 very proud, very excited.
So yeah, did you like raise him like because you were in the press box and everything? Was he able to taste any of that with you? And did you get him up there a few times that got his feet wet and made him follow in your footsteps?
Really? No, never really did. I mean, they go to the ballpark sometimes as a fan and spring training and stuff like that. But just kind of a gin on his own and did an internship one summer covering the Detroit Tigers for MLB.com and kind of fell in love with the job.
That's great. Did you have any inclination like in high school, college that he was going to do it, or did it just kind of happen?
Kind of happened. I thought he might go into your line of work. I thought he might go into broadcasting.
Right.
So kind of when he went to college, slowly shifting gears to the print side and enjoyed it. He really has a enthusiasm and passion for it.
So now he has a great angle. He can do stories on Joey Votto telling the world how bad the Reds suck.
Yeah, we already knew that. We enjoyed it. We already knew that.
Right, we did. Do you know that when the word was they were going to get rid of Harvey, the Mets, I said on the show, I said, he should go to the Reds like Tom Seaver. And then he went to the Reds. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's a good spot for him. I mean, a non-contending team, it's his chance to kind of remake himself, knowing he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. So, if he does a great job there and pitches well, obviously then he'll get traded, sometime in July before the trade deadline. And then, if things go well, make himself some money in the offseason.
So let's talk about your piece from yesterday on baseball and the new gambling laws. Obviously, the Supreme Court decision in New Jersey by Memorial Day, it looks like at Monmouth Park, will open up windows at William Hill for people to bet on everything, including baseball. What's your overall impression of all of it, and what your colleagues and the players and everyone in baseball think?
Well, the players, don't like it. Certainly the umpires don't either. There's a fear factor in the sense where, you're going to get fans upset throwing stuff on the field when the team is losing. If someone's paying a mortgage on a game and they're losing then, hey, crazy things happen in the world. They're just, a little fearful, like what happens when a fan really gets upset. It's one thing to have your favorite team lose. It's another thing to lose money on it. So that's a fear among the players and some of the umpires. And then, where does it stop? Does the clubhouse attendants give inside information, trainers, that sort of thing? So, and I know the players and the umpires union are hoping it does not, go to baseball, that, they can't stop it, but they can certainly stop baseball from embracing it.
So, literally, Joe West in your piece said that he's worried about guys getting their legs broken. What's that
kind
about?
Old school mafia, right? Where you don't can kill somebody, but you grab a tire iron or something and knock someone's legs. But I think personal harm. Just that. Hey, fans can wait outside a hotel. Everybody can figure out where teams are staying. This sort of thing. That just might create a different anger among the fans when things aren't going right, just when there's, when there's that kind of money at stake.
Do you think I'll see it at some point in baseball stadiums, let's say, in the states that legalize it, which I think there'll be probably in the next 5 years, at least 32 or more states will have it. New Jersey, as I said, will have it in a month, by the end of the month. So my question would be, do you believe baseball will have giant advertisements in their ballparks for sports betting and sports books and companies and casinos?
Yeah, I do, particularly. You know, I mean, Arizona kind of has already with the Indian reservations and things like that because there's casinos.
Right. Mikasuki.
I do think we'll see that, you know, whether, you know, you're somewhere close by, you know, Harrah's or Caesars or something like that. Why not? If they're going to pay that kind of big money, you know, why not take advantage of it?
I think that's where the money, this is me, I think that's where most of the money for me on the outset would come from for baseball would be in working with them and in endorsements and marketing and advertising and making that big multi-million-dollar deal to have them name a stadium or have huge advertising rights or, you know, broadcast television rights on baseball games, you know, through a sports book. I think that day's coming. Let me ask you about Robbie Cano, Bob Nightingale, USA Today with us. So you wrote that his bust ruins his rep, his Hall of Fame, his playoffs, everything. He can't play in the playoffs. He's already been banned by that. This is a huge, big-name star player to go down today.
Yeah, you're talking about a potential Hall of Famer. He was certainly on the road to Hall of Fame. Talking about guys, on the path to 3,000 hits, 40 hits, 300 home runs, you know, 305 batting average. So, no, this, you know, disgraces him. In a past history, you know, is an indication. You know, he's out of the Hall of Fame forever. No one ever gets there when you're suspended for steroid use. So, he can say what he wants. It's for health, anything else. No, MLB and the drug people say no. He was using a clear masking agent, and he was definitely using performance enhancing drugs.
So he was hiding another drug. When he got popped, he basically was looking. Was he looking for a deal to get out of this or something?
Well, he was totally appealing it. The union filed a grievance and said, "Let's fight this thing." And then they stopped. And then they said, you know what, over the weekend, we're not gonna fight it. We're going to drop this thing. And then when he broke his hand, it became easier for them to drop it. He's going to be out, you know, almost 2 months anyway. So what's a few more games? So it became an easy decision by Cano and the unions to say, you know what, you got me.
So they owe him $120 million through 2023. And they have, you wrote, no idea how much his past productivity impacted by PEDs, whether it'll ever be the same player, but knowing he no longer will be marketable to their fan base because he's been busted for drugging. So, I mean, what a nightmare for the Mariners at the end of the day that they owe him that much money.
Yeah, you know, it happened with Ryan Braun and the Brewers. You can't market a guy. You can't put him on your yearbook covers or your schedules and things like that. Can't do ads because the guy, you know, cheated and used PEDs. You know, and the other guys, they got two other guys on the team, the same thing, Nelson Cruz and D. Gordon, but they got popped in different organizations, so it's a little different. You know, now it's like, especially with the salary that Cano is making, you know, the highest paid players in the game. And the fact that he had the longest playoff drought, you know, in baseball right now, it's like, hey, he's going to take the brunt of a lot of criticism down there, or up there, I should say, particularly if he doesn't perform well.
But he also, like, it's kind of super cheesy to me because he's, like, getting the surgery and going into hiding is basically what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's going to hiding anyway. I mean, I get to see a guy that gets popped and then start showing up around the clubhouse and glad-handing people. Usually they all disappear. So, but yeah, I don't think we'll see him again, until he does his rehab assignment somewhere. And then, you know, probably issue another apology. You know, I don't think he'll ever come out and say exactly what he did. He made his statement, and I'm sure he'll just stick to it.
He's full of it. All of them. Like, I hear these excuses all the time, like, I want to hurl this guy Canelo Alvarez. He said he ate bad meat in Mexico. Like, I've heard it all. Like, I can't even take it anymore. It's just like, I don't know what you would do. You just get popped and you're like, whatever. But they all come out with these outrageous statements about how they would never cheat the game. But that's exactly what they're doing. It's just unbelievable. Bob, great stuff. Congrats on your son again on his gig with the Cincy Inquirer covering the Reds. Congratulations to him and success for the future. Thanks for coming on the bench as always.
No, thanks so much, Scott. Thanks so much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. Bob Nightingale of the USA Today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So this game is the Cavs are in serious trouble. They're going to go down 2-0 to the Celtics. They're going to lose this game in Boston tonight. They got blown out in the third quarter, outscored by 14, I believe. It's now, it's desperation time for Cleveland. They're down 9 with 5 minutes to go. They have got to go at it now. There is no more room for error. They got to stroke a couple buckets and threes together and get a little run going here, because this game is it's looking like it's out of reach to me. In about a minute or two, it's over.
They do need to run, but the problem is that, you know, they got to put some buckets together. They're scoring. The problem is they're trading baskets. They got to shut them down and play some damn defense. They need some stops. You can't keep trading baskets when you're down double digits.
So they're down 8 right now, and they can't seem to stop the Celtics. Ball movement's been good, and they're getting looks, and they're still up 8. And then you see Horford missed the easy free throw, basically, on a jumper from about 16, 17 feet, dead out. LeBron's got to take this game over right now, and he does with a J from the elbow. So it's 6 now with 4:41 left. They've got to get back in this game. They've got to win this game. I'm telling you, although they could go home and win 2 games easily and it'd be 2-all, I still think that you've got to win both of your home games. If you lose these, obviously, and you got to protect your house. And no series, as we know, is anything until both teams play 2 games, right? You see what's happening tonight for Washington. They're losing. They're going to lose this game. They're down 4-1. So now the Lightning have found a way to crack the code, and they're in this thing now. And then what do they play Thursday night? If they win Thursday night, it's go home for game 5. And the last time this happened, I said, believe it or not, I was looking at it before. Remember I told you the stats. The Capitals won games 1 and 2 by a combined 6 goals. The last time they won the first 2 games of a series by at least 6 goals was in 2003 against the Lightning. Washington scored a combined 6 goals in the next 4 games, losing all of them. Now, remember, they the last time they won 2 games by at least 6 goals, which is what they did in games, it was, right? It was 4-0 or 4-2 and 6-2, right? So they've outscored them by 6 goals, right? And then now what did they do tonight? They got 1, remember? And so remember, the next 4 games, they've still got room for 5 more to tie the low number of 6 in 4 games that they lost in 2003. So Carver High has put it out there tonight to me in the Spew newsroom that he believes this is the beginning of the same kind of demise for the Capitals.
I thought that if the Lightning could win tonight, they'd be right back in it, have the opportunity to still win this series. And sure enough, they are going to win tonight. So,
and do you believe they'll win Thursday night?
I believe they absolutely can win Thursday night.
Mafia, do you think they will duplicate what they're doing tonight on Thursday night and even up this series, or will the Capitals wake up and win that game 4?
I think that Tampa's going to get the win, and they're going to even it. I just can't believe that they got beat up the way they did at home the first 2 games. I have to believe that this is more of what this is more of what the team that we have seen all playoffs, all regular season, and more of what the team we should expect. Maybe not dominating on the road every game, but I think they'll find a way to scratch and claw, maybe win like a 3-2 game to tie it up and then have momentum going home.
So let me switch gears here for a second and go to that NBA draft lottery. So the Suns won the draft lottery, and this is a very simple decision, if you ask me. Let's not play games here. All this talk about Luka Doncic, I've seen as many as a couple of mock drafts already which make me want to hurl all these mock NFL drafts and NBA drafts. I don't care about all that. Let's just get realistic here. You can take your mock draft and go have a martini with your little drinking friends and talk to him about Luka Doncic. That's great. I'm sure he's an awesome player. I know he's an incredible player. I also know he's a point guard, and but he's big, 6'8". I'll give him that. That's incredible size, and he's done a lot of great things. I've seen some highlights of him playing, right? Capitals score, it's 4-2, but there's only 3 minutes left. It's DeAndre Ayton's getting that gig. He's going number one to the Suns. Can you imagine the Suns if they were like in the Valley watching this guy play basketball in Tucson at Arizona for Sean Miller, watching this 7-foot monster absolutely like just a man child dominating college basketball? Was he not? And, 20 years old, 7'2", 250. Just an absolute monster. And you would not draft this guy right now, number one in Phoenix for the Suns. You get the number one pick, and you're not going to take that monster that's right at your doorstep? You must be stupid. Honestly, you have absolutely got to be stupid. And, like, playing games about it and pretending like you're going to do something else or trade the pick or take this kid from Madrid that, has been playing in Madrid, he's a EuroLeague player already. You're going to take it. No, you're not. You're not going to take him. You're going to take Ayton. That's all there is to it, right? Boom. First of all, they're one of the worst teams in the league to begin with. They are the worst team. And then you get this giant monster of a player in the middle. You just got to do it. They already have great guards. They already have guys, Jackson and Booker, that can do all kinds of things, right? So... we've already seen Booker have a 70-point game. I don't, all this talk about point guard. Listen, I know Doncic's a great player. Word is most people, I believe, think he goes to the Kings, and then it'll go like, Bagley, and then after that, nobody knows what's going to happen. Some people think Jaren Jackson of Michigan State. Then you got this Bamba, Bigfoot, 7-footer at Texas, Muhammad Bamba. Another kid that's going to be 20 years old. And then Trae Young is going to be there. Wendell Carter at Duke. Certainly Michael Porter of Missouri. They're saying right now that at some capacity he could end up in, like, Cleveland, believe it or not. And then Colin Sexton, possibly the Knicks. Would you take Colin Sexton, 6'2", 183, the point guard over that small forward Bridges from Villanova, or that big monster Bridges, power forward 6'6", 226 from Michigan State? Would you take that guard, Colin Sexton at Alabama, over those two monsters in Bridges and Bridges, the two from Nova and Michigan State? I think those two guys are better than the other guy. I think Sexton's a really good player. But in the NBA, I think his college game, all that speed and everything, this is just me. I think he's a really fast, explosive player. But I think he's basically DeAndre Fox, is he not? And DeAndre Fox has not dominated anything in the NBA, has he? De'Aaron Fox. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't dominated anything.
Right, plus his size is something that you might have to worry about. I mean, I know you're going to put on some muscle and some size when you get in and you grow up a little bit, but, I mean, the kid's 6'3", 190. He might be one of those guys that eventually is a great college player because he's fast and quick and he can blow out by everybody. But then when you get to the NBA and everyone's a little quicker and now you're smaller, it's going to get tossed around a bit.
I mean, I'm just thinking, whatever.
Here's what I know about the Knicks.
Right.
They're picking ninth, and there'll be 8 good players in the draft, and then they're going to pick. Because when they pick between, 6 and 12, it never goes right. Never.
It never has.
Simple.
It never has.
They always miss out on a guy, or they pick the wrong guy, and the guy after him or two spots after
just
him becomes
like
a stud.
Nilakina.
It always happens. It'll happen again this year. There'll be 8 studs in this draft, and then they'll get the 9th guy. It happens all the time to them. Good luck with it.
It's a done deal.
Done deal.
So what happened in the Celtic game? Marcus Smart got in a some kind of fight. Did he get in a fight with J.R.
Smith? Because they were throwing an alley-oop to Horford, and Smith just pushed Horford 2 hands from behind to not let him get the alley-oop dunk. So it sent him flying down. So Smart came over defending his guy, got in the face of Smith. They both shoved each other, and then JR got, you know, shoved him in the face with his hand. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets tossed.
Like, honestly, like, doesn't Marcus Smart just – you really want to mess with that dude? Like, if you're JR?
No.
Like, you really want to mess with Marcus Smart? I mean, he just stared – he's staring him down right now. They're showing it. And he's just like, come close to me. Like, he just, he'll rip JR in half. You could just see it.
Yeah.
No part of Marcus Smart.
I don't, you know, I honestly, I don't think JR is afraid of him. I think JR thinks he's too cool.
Oh, JR's like not afraid of him.
Right, JR's pretty crazy himself.
Yeah, he's not afraid of him.
I'm just saying, I think Marcus Smart would
a little,
take him apart.
I think he's maybe missing a bolt or two.
It's possible.
We've already seen him have a couple of episodes. He's a hell of a defender and spark plug. Hell of a player. I like Marcus. Everyone in Boston loves him. 4-2 empty net. Tampa's up. 34 seconds left and a whistle. So they're going to drop the puck, and they're 30 seconds away from being down 2-1 and showing up tonight big in D.C. against the Capitals. Were there people calling in here last night celebrating already that they were up 2-0 and drinking the Veuve Clicquot champagne already?
I think we did get one call that said who do you like them better against
in the final,
right? I mean, who's a better matchup, Winnipeg or Vegas?
Right.
Meanwhile,
because it's all done,
they had to win two more games
right
before they get there. But you know, we'll forget about that stuff.
Jared called for the flagrant one on that foul,
so no problem, right?
Not toss, but they get the free throws in the ball.
So they're up 10. This game's over. They're not losing this game. There's 3 minutes left. And there you get a Horford reverse bucket and the foul, and this game is toast. They'll be up 13 now after the and one.
You also got the double tech on Smith and Marcus Smart.
A lot of technicals, a lot of pushing and shoving, but a Boston 2-0 lead in the series is about to come to fruition.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.